Welcome to the Weekden Update, your weekly dose of everything Grizzlies, presented by the Grizzden Podcast and the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Will Walker, and I'm joined every week, maybe every couple of weeks, now that we're in the dog days of the season. I'm joined by John Kraft. How's it going, John?
It's going well. So yeah, spring break for us. So none last week, but doing well. And actually saw a real NBA game last night, which we can talk about.
The Grizzlies are 23-45, 13th in the West, 24th in the NBA, 30th in offense, 11th in defense, 25th in net rating at a minus 6.2. They are tied for 6th from the bottom of the standings in Tankathon, and the Raptors have made a big push towards the bottom, lost 7 straight, and no signs of slowing down. So we'll be continuously monitoring them, but it's been a precipitous fall.
Yeah, well, and we've talked about, so they have an interesting situation because they are top 6 protected. Or if they're 7th or lower, their pick goes to the Spurs. And so they have a very, very, very big incentive to get into that top 6. Even if they get 6th, I think percentage-wise, they're still more likely to be less than 6th or not 6th. It's a whole weird thing with the lottery odds now. As I said from the get-go, I think Grizzlies fans should get really used to being 7th, because, you know, not to say they're going to move up and down, but I think we're going to finish 7th. I just don't think we're going to be able to compete. I think Toronto's going to make sure they do that. And silver lining to me is, we don't want the Spurs getting 2 top 10 picks, honestly. You know, if we're going to have to drop a pick, do it to the Raptors, and, you know, not let one of our conference rivals in our division get 2 top 10 picks, even if it is a weak draft. I can deal with that if people are upset about us becoming 7th. I'd rather the Raptors have that pick and not the Spurs.
We could throw Darko a bone. That's totally fine. We start every podcast with our who's up and who's down. John, what's your who's up?
My who's up. This was an interesting. It's hard when people are in and out of the lineup a lot, but so I'm just gonna say my who's up is development. So development is up. Development is happening. I'm actually, you know, anytime I thought, okay, I'm gonna give this person up, and I wrote them down, they would have a bad game, or they would do something that would drive me crazy. Or honestly, they just sat out too many games for me to feel like I need to give them a who's up. So I'm just going to say, in general development, personally, I've really enjoyed, I've actually enjoyed Santi Aldama. I'm very hard on him. I've already put him off the team a couple times, but I've been impressed with him. I mean, he still is probably never going to be what he is, but for the first time last couple weeks, I've actually, with his rebounding, with the way he shot the 3, you know, and honestly playing defense a little better. He's still getting pushed around a little bit too much. He still, you know, forgets things, but he's super young. And so I've done that. I know this might, you're probably going to push back on this one, but I've actually liked what I've seen from Jake Laravia. He's missing shots and he's missing wide open 3s, which is very, very frustrating. He's also missing shots around the basket, which is very, very frustrating. And so in that sense, do I have high hopes for Laravia? No. But do I like his activity on defense? Do I like that he's getting a lot of rebounds? He's getting deflections. He's just in it. He, you know, it's one of those weird things, because you look at Zaire, you look at Roddy. For me, Laravia, there's these things where it's like, okay, I could see what the Grizzlies were seeing, and I think I can see potential, but he's got to start hitting open 3s. He's got to start finishing around the basket, as opposed to making good moves and then breaking a layup, things like that. But again, he is younger. He's not making very much next year, but he is making me not some believer, but just a, I'll be okay if he's still on the team next year. He's getting me there, and that I see potential glimpses. So that I've really liked our two-way guys, Scottie Pippen Jr. in particular. He's only gotten to play, you know, once, I think, over the stretch, but I still continue to like him. Honestly, I like Trey Jameson too. I think both of them are great two ways, for potentially being on the team next year. I'm really excited, because I think Scottie Pippen Jr. could be a potential like point guard, you know, when we need a point guard, if we deal with some injuries next year, because obviously the Derrick Rose situation is not something to be counted on. So all that said, and I just, there was a moment yesterday where Laravia hit a couple, was missing a lot of shots, had a terrible turnover, but then finally hit kind of a little layup in the lane and had this kind of look. And I saw Jenkins come over and talk to him for a while. And then I think a little bit later, you know, he hit a couple big shots towards the end of the fourth quarter. When we were making a little bit of a run against OKC. All that said, I really like this. I think this is where Jenkins is at his best, is development, is giving guys confidence, giving guys the, letting them see. And then obviously GG Jackson, same way, you know, obviously has amazing highs, has very low lows, just is a complete space cadet on defense sometimes, but then when he's engaged, he's great. And when his shots from the outside's hitting, I mean, he's a really, really good NBA rotation player, honestly. But that's the big key. So all that said, that's my development.
My who's up, and this is going to just, this is absolutely perfect after your who's up, Kraft, which is Grizz Sickos. Because let me read off the schedule in the month of March. Trailblazers, Trailblazers, Nets, Sixers without Embiid, Hawks, Thunder, where we got beat by like over 30, Wizards, Hornets, and then finally we had one good home game against the Thunder at last night, which was March 16th. So the first half of March, has the schedule has been absolutely abysmal when it comes to actually getting exciting matchups that we're, you know, looking forward to watching. Not only that, but this plays perfectly into my who's down, which is the team records that you don't want to have, which the Grizzlies tied with 28 different players that have not only played in games this season, but have scored in games this season. Keep in mind, Brandon Clark probably going to come back. He might be 29th. Also, we're still going to be eligible for another 10-day contract here in the next couple of weeks. That could get this roster up to 30 players that not only just play, not only suit up, that 30 players that actually might score, which is double what an NBA roster is. It is absolutely crazy.
I think Rob Fisher said last night was the 42nd different starting lineup for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, yes.
So, if you think about how many games we've played, 42 of them.
Yes.
Different starting lineup.
So,
absolutely.
Kraft, I have something that I wanted to you know, propose, and this could go really well or really poorly. I wanted to see if you could name all 28 players that have played. And when you just hit a snag and we feel like this is terrible podcasting, we can just cut it off. But I'd be interested to know if you, as a Grizz sicko, which we both are, but this is just, this is entirely dedicated to you after this, the development monologue. It's just perfect.
I have a confession. I have to confess that I did not watch the entire fourth quarter of that OKC Thunder loss.
You're forgiven.
I actually got up a couple times to get a drink of water. did not see every...
He's not talking about turning the game off. He's talking about missing a couple of possessions, folks. This is why you come to this podcast, okay? No one else is doing what we're doing right now. So, okay, Kraft, do you want to give it a try? You don't have to, but you can give it a try if you want.
No, I will give it a try.
All right. I got the list right here in front of me.
Yeah. So I'll go John Morant, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yep.
Santé Aldama.
Yep.
So Vince Williams Jr., GG Jackson. So Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard. Let me see. How many do I have right now?
That is 4, 6, 7, 8 so far.
Okay. Kenneth Lofton Jr.
Yep.
David Roddy.
Uh-huh.
Jake Laravia. Zaire Williams.
Yep.
I'm trying to do the original roster. Gilliard.
Yep.
Jacob Gilliard. Can't forget him. Bismack Biyombo.
Yep.
Noel.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Goodwin, Scottie Pippen Jr., Trey Jameson. Lamar Stevens.
Yep.
Matthew Hurt.
Yep.
I will tell you, I don't even know what's his name. Our newest one, he played a little bit last night. Is it Dinky? How do you pronounce his name?
I'll give it to you because I know what you're trying to say.
I'm laughing because every time Pete says his name, somebody in my household looks up like, what did he just say?
Trying to say Dejan Giroux?
Dejan Giroux.
Yep.
Yes. But they call him Pete has some there's a name they call
him. Is that right? Okay.
I think it's Dinky or Deaky, something like that. Okay, how many I
all right at this point? So okay, there are three that I haven't marked yet that were on the original roster.
Gabriel.
Yep.
And these are people that have actually been on the floor at some point, right?
Oh yeah, no, all of them have been on the floor.
I know I'm missing somebody who's very obvious.
Let me know when you want me to start giving hints.
Okay. No. I'm trying to think who.
There's one obvious one that you.
Oh, obviously Xavier Tillman.
Yes.
And then I'm probably missing one. How many do I have left?
Two. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. And two of them, I will say, two of them were on the main roster at the start of the season. One of them is a guy that you and I both love that sometimes gets some hate. You might have said his name and I missed it, but
obviously Conchar.
Yes.
So, I was keeping him in my back pocket, but now people are going to be embarrassed if I don't get him out there.
Yep.
Obviously, yep. Love Conchar.
Of course.
May or may not have gotten some. So I don't think he was, but got some MVP votes for this week.
Absolutely.
I don't think he'll win, but he got some votes.
There's one more. There's one more that was on the main roster that, let's just say you and I, or I in particular, have not been very fond of him this season. He happened to go to college in this city as well.
Oh, Derrick Rose.
Of course.
I mean, honestly. He is the one that's, I love Derek. He's the one that's easiest to forget, honestly.
And now we're getting to, this is sicko level. So these last three.
I'm trying to think because I got Hurt. I got Giroux. I got,
one of them, was not signed. He was actually traded for.
Oh, you did on Watanabe.
Yep.
That's bad on me. Yeah, it's been crazy because he hasn't been around.
He hasn't.
I did say Zaire.
You
I
did.
That's, okay.
You've the last two are really just. I mean, one of them was not here, but for 10 days. So there's a hint. And the other one was a guy that. We thought was going to play a much bigger role as a replacement player at the beginning of the season during a suspension.
Oh, all right. I'm giving up at this point.
All right. We've got
long pauses aren't good for podcasts.
Okay. So, Shaq Harrison was,
Shaq, yeah.
He ended up playing in a game or two. And then the last one, which I mean, this is just, off the wall. Tosun Evumen. I don't even know how to say his name.
Oh, that's right. Tosun, yes.
He came over.
I would have never gotten Tosun. I would eventually been able to get Shaq, but there's no way I would have gotten him.
He and Jemison, I believe, were the 10 days contracts that got signed at the same time, and we got rid of Tosun.
Right.
And
he went to an Ivy League school, right?
I think that's correct. Princeton, maybe?
Yeah, he went to Princeton.
So, yeah, that's all 28 players, and that was probably bad podcasting, but I just thought that that would be a fun activity for us, and we are going to get to 30. We're going to get to 30 for sure. All right, so I've done my who's up and who's down. What's your who's down?
So my who's down, I have a few of these. So and a couple of them are sort of like very dumb, one of my who's down is the Wizards. It's hard for me to pick any Grizzlies at this point, because it's hard to blame them. It's hard to know. Because my who's up was development. I didn't have a certain Grizzly that I'm just like super down on. I think they've all kind of had their moments, but who's down was the Wizards. That was just really depressing. I actually happen to know a few Wizards fans, not just like media people who are Wizards fans, but I actually have some Wizards fans in my life, and I really feel for them. It's just really bad. I know that Simmons did a podcast, one of my favorite ones, with Waz and House, on worst NBA contracts, which is always one of my favorite podcasts every year. And there were several Wizards on there, and I just feel bad for that team. That's like one of those teams you play, and it makes you just appreciate the Grizzlies and how different we are in a bad year, and how despite my complaints about some tanking, how we do bring it most of the time, how we do look like we know what we're doing, we're well coached, we have a plan. Those sorts of things. So that was my who down. And then I had kind of like, this maybe is me. I've been told this is me at my most boomerish, but I'm upset with the Grizzlies fans. Last night was actually a good showing. We'll talk about that later. I actually really liked how the fans came out last night. But in the game before that I went to, and it was a close game, and it was the Hawks. And with like 3.5 minutes left in a one possession game, we did the wave. And I mean, I've never been more ashamed to be a Memphis Grizzlies fan in my life. I'm not anti-wave 100%, but I'm pretty anti-wave. To me, that's like you've given up as a fan base, except when you're beating the Milwaukee Bucks by 50 points and you start a wave because you're so bored at how awesome we are, and the players get into it, and that's great. So, like, to me, do a wave when you're up big. You can do a wave, I guess, when you're down big, but that actually feels like a self-own to me. But in a one-possession game, like, the game is still in the balance with, like, 3.5 minutes left, and for whatever reason, the lower bowl section, right behind the bench over on an angle, kept trying to do the wave. And there's probably some Grizz Den listeners out there who are in that section, and so I apologize, but this is a stance I have. And I've been told by several people that, like, you know, get off my lawn, this is what I'm acting like. But it was disgraceful, honestly. Like, I was in such a bad mood the rest of the game. It didn't even matter that stupid DeJounte Murray scored like 45 points against us, and that, you know, we kind of blew that game against a team that was like decided to not play any defense in the first half. But I was so annoyed with that. I'm still kind of down about it. The crowd last night almost made up for it because of being so good, but it was ridiculous. And it was very nice for me to see in my section, the real ones, the ones who are there at every game I go to, season ticket holders, did not participate in the wave. So that made me feel good as well. So anyway, all that said, Will, I don't think you were at that game, But I was very upset about it. I was surprised there was not more backlash. But that just is kind of the way the season's gone. But hopefully I never have to complain about that again. But that was terrible. Anyway,
yeah,
not long enough. That was my down. I thought I was going to be in a good enough mood last night. If we'd beaten the OKC probably last night, I wouldn't have brought this up. But it was embarrassing. I was very upset about it.
Listen, I'm never going to tell you as a diehard not to get upset about something as disgraceful as the wave. But, you know, I will say, if I could just play a little devil's advocate, I think that, or not even devil's advocate, because I'm not advocating at all for it. I think that the fans right now are in a state of delirium. I think we've kind of gone through this entire emotional arc of a season that we have basically, after the trade deadline, entered into acceptance. And I think acceptance of where this season is, and honestly, kind of this anticipation of it finally being over, if we're being honest, is where a lot of people are. And so to me, that show, when you go to a game, there is definitely a different vibe. It's not something that to me feels like it will feel for the next, hopefully, like 3 to 5 years. To me, I'm almost writing off this month, which you can push back for sure, because I understand there is still something to watch for. We still have players that were, the evaluation is totally incomplete, and it's an opportunity for them to show us what they have. See Jake Laravia, number one, in my opinion. But I kind of also think that there is a group of fans that might not be going to games here very often, and they're taking the opportunity to maybe sit a lot closer than they would due to the how cost-effective games are these days. And I almost don't even, I don't even place the same expectation on fans to act as fans should these days, based on the you know, the group that's there. And you're right. I was not there. We were actually out of town. I was very tempted that if I were a fan here and were available in town, I would have been tempted when you had the back-to-back against Washington and Charlotte to maybe stay home and just to watch it, see if it's a close game, see if there's any highlights, maybe turn it on at the end. And I think that's where a lot of fans are these days. So I'm not, of course, John, I would need you to be the protector of the fandom, especially inside FedEx Forum. And so I'm never going to ask you to stand down on that, but maybe for this one, you know, if I had to push back a little bit, maybe a pass is in order.
Yeah, well, I checked out the 7 stages of grief right here, and none of them include doing the wave at all.
Listen, again, respect.
Might say it's the upward turn, but I disagree. And by the way, that wave put me through the 7 stages of grief, because it was shock and denial for a while, then some pain and guilt, lots of anger, honestly. And now I'm just in depression a little bit about it, but it's okay. But it's a good word. I realize it is a unique, but I don't want to see that sort of behavior. Late fourth quarter, one possession game waves when the seasons matter. Let's just put
100%. No, we are the expectation goes way high moving forward. Let's get into some news and notes. Let's talk about maybe some of those games. I mean, honestly, last night to me was the first real basketball, as you mentioned, that we've had in a long time. Part of that was because Desmond Bain did make his return. He was plus 11 in that return, by the way, just picked up right where he left off in limited minutes. Started, but I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, and I would say even Rusty and did some things I didn't like either, and still was plus 11.
Had a couple turnovers late that definitely changed the game. But overall, that was a big deal. You saw also to me where Jaren slots in as a secondary option, and his efficiency went way up. I believe he was 7 of 11 from the floor, and honestly had a pretty high rebound game. I had to check it near the end because I thought he might be nearing a double double. I think he ended up with 6 or 7 rebounds, but just, I mean, he was, which against the Thunder, it needs to be stated that they don't necessarily have they're not heavy in the rebounding category. But they, man, everybody on their team can play basketball. And they are, to me, the perfect example of a regular season team that will just catch you by surprise, because you're not going to game plan for the Thunder like you would any other team. And I'm super interested to see what a team in a series with them is going to look like when they're playing a team that gets to really, really gets to game plan for a few days beforehand and make adjustments along the way. And also, we'll see. They've had the best injury luck, and they've also been hitting shots at a pretty unsustainable clip. Or maybe they are this good. Yeah. And it's been unfortunate because this podcast is not huge Thunder fans, but I personally have felt that watching Shea has changed everything for me. I think he is that dude. And he's the straw that stirs their drink, no doubt. So it was interesting watching the Thunder. I still think they have the most assets to go out and get somebody if they really want to. But overall, it was fun to actually see a real basketball game on the floor last night.
Yeah. So I mean, I was, and talk about development. I liked, you know, he got cooked some But you know, honestly, Shea's going to cook everybody. But I appreciated that GG Jackson guarded him a lot. I think that's just the kind of stuff that's really good. That like that's the positives of a year like this is you can throw a 19-year-old rookie out on you know a top 3-4 MVP candidate and let him get beat, but let him learn. In that sense, the other thing you know you talked about Jaren. I mean, I think the other thing that's kind of stood out for me with Jaren as well was him getting 7 assists, which is pretty, which I think was his career high.
Yeah, it was.
And you know, I think it helped that he was assisting to people like Desmond Bane who actually hit shots too. But I think you're right. I think it did. It made everything feel right. Honestly, I think Santi Aldama and Luke Kennard both felt a little right as well, not having to carry stuff and kind of fit more into that puzzle. I will say, you know, Jaren, it's hard to know. I'm going to kind of put it up with Rust. I mean, he's not. He had sat out a couple games before this one. Or he's been in and out of the lineup. And obviously, I don't know. I mean, he did get the ball stolen from him twice on double teams kind of late. And again, that's where, I mean, I can be frustrated, but at the same time, I think this is a good learning experience. Like, I do think he's adjusted to double teams. I think this is the first time playing with Bane where it's like, oh, they're double teaming me in like not an obvious way, but like in a somebody coming from the back to get me when I kind of start looking toward the basket. And so the OKC, I mean, give them credit. They kind of did I haven't seen many people do that with Jaren. And so I think that's an interesting thing. Hopefully they get in the film room and Jaren recognizes that teams might start doing that with him. But that was, you know, that was a big deal down the stretch. Jaren turned the ball over twice by people coming and double teaming him. But again, also OKC is really good. I mean, part of what makes OKC really good is every one of their players is probably at least a average defender. A lot of them are plus defenders. That's what makes them really hard. And like you said, they do start to, they are, last night they did feel Golden State-y to me in the sense that if anybody was wide open for three, there was a groan in the crowd and there was a sense of they're going to hit and that like you can't play them where the defense we like, which is a lot of help, you just can't do that. You got to like let people score 2 points. Let guys defend one-on-one, but don't just leave these guys. Because honestly, they have a lot of players who don't really do much else besides just hit standstill threes, but it's really effective for them the way they play it. So,
what have you thought about the previous week of games as well? Because the main takeaway for me is I think Scottie Pippen and Trey Jemison have a real shot to remain on two ways next year and actually be kind of break glass in case of emergency guys. Of course, with Scottie Pippen, we haven't had a true backup point guard on the roster this season, and I think that was intentional going into the year, even without knowing all the injuries, and honestly, with knowing that Ja was going to be suspended for the first quarter of the season. Marcus Smart, we know, can play the one if need be, but to me, he is a lot better suited to play on the wing with a guy like Ja leading the charge. And I've been really impressed with Pippen. Trey Jemison has been really efficient in the last few games when he's played and can rebound the basketball. Just will, you know, like I said, not take a shot unless he really has to, which in his case is usually a dunk or one of his old school hooks. But overall, what do you think about the prospects of them actually staying on two ways next season and contributing?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know, I think both. I think Scottie Pippen Jr. should be a for sure. I've really liked the way he runs the team. I think he's got a lot of upside. And like you said, I think it's almost like, you know, it's funny because a lot of people said we're going to have to sign another point guard to the roster. And I just think with our roster crunch and how we want to use, you know, our money, I just think giving a two-way guy like Scottie Pippen Jr., a two-way and kind of making him our de facto third string point guard. And honestly, seeing if we can do it by committee with the Bane, Marcus Smart, Vince Williams Jr., Conchar, all that kind of group of guys. And we don't know if Conchar will be here next year or not, just because he has a good contract for trades and stuff. But I think that with that, that's what I would see. I would see a base is like we're stuck with Derrick Rose. You know, everybody says he's a great locker room guy. He probably is. You know, that's on our roster. He's a roster spot. At this point, I don't think we're going to cut him. And so I think it's almost like Scottie Pippen Jr. is our Derek, you know, like is our Derek Rose sub for next year. And then with Jameson, I think it's been good. I'm sad, you know, we can't play him every game because of, you know, him being on a two-way. He has a limit and being signed so late. His limited amount of games. I would have loved to have seen him a little bit last night because that's the kind of team, you know, it'd just be interesting to see a team that doesn't do well against physical guys. But, you know, see if he can, if he dominated the boards or if he was like just basically if we were killed on threes by having him out there. But I do think, you know, he's a less experienced Bismack. I mean, I think at worst for us next year, I think he gets in and he does some good things. He sets hard screens. You know, he has been finishing pretty well. Like you said, his efficiency's up. So I've really liked what I've seen. I mean, is he ever going to be like a future rotation player? No, but I think he's a great candidate for, honestly, he's not going to, I don't think he'll be as good as Tillman is completely, but he has that potential of being a guy, you know, 11 through 15 in the roster, and especially on a two-way, that can come in, like you said, and help. So I've actually really been pleased with both of them. Unfortunately, about as opposite as possible with the third two-way guy, which is Jordan Goodwin. And you know, I appreciate him. I know that he's being asked to do hard, which is play point guard for a team of a bunch of guys coming in and out of the lineup, so it's not the best situation for him. But I would be pretty shocked if he's back because, like, honestly, Jacob Gilliard did a better job than him when he was here. And I just think he's just kind of a minus player. We just don't play well when he's on the court. I don't always love the decisions he makes. So with that sense, but I am excited about the potential of Scottie Pippen and Trey.
Any other notes to throw out from the last week or two of games?
Yeah, I have a few. You know, one of the things that I've really enjoyed, like you said, with the Aldama, Laravia, just seeing all the development from guys, is just getting, you know, being okay. Like, it's been nice to be okay with mistakes. And it's also more frustration with Zaire Williams. I actually think this is a hard thing to say, but I actually think him getting injured might have been a blessing. Because I actually think, like I said, that Jacob Laravia, and even an Aldama to an extent too, although he was going to be getting minutes anyway, but I want to see Jake Laravia getting a lot of minutes. And I think Zaire would have gotten in the way of that. You know, hopefully with Vince Williams coming back and Bain, I want to get them seeing more time ball handling as well. And it feels like we kept wanting to try to make Zaire some kind of ball handler too. But at this point, I just don't want any development going to Zaire. I think, you know, sad to say, I think he's a lost cause. And so I actually think we benefit a little bit from him being on the bench, which is, you know, like I said, sad. But I like that we're giving Jake a lot of minutes. And while I still am a little bit skeptical, but I'm enjoying getting to see him play and seeing what we think. And I think we'll be in a good place at the end of the year, kind of knowing what we have with him. So that's my big. And I just was excited about the crowd. I wanted to get shout out as much as I was upset about the wave. Last night's crowd was really encouraging. I have a feeling we had a good amount of OKC Thunder fans, Spring Breakers in the mix as well. But it was just nice to see like a very slamming. That's the kind of crowd that would be if we were the two seed and not out of the playoffs. That's the kind of crowd we would have at this time of year. And so it was very exciting to see that crowd. They were into it. And I've been, you know, pleasantly surprised, honestly, with how the crowds have stayed just really good. You know, I mean, obviously it feels dead. There is like some weird stuff from time to time, but I've enjoyed that people are still coming to the games, and that it says a lot because Memphis, I think, can be a fair weather city with sports, and so I've been really encouraged to see FedEx Forum pretty full still, despite, like you're saying, a lot of bad teams and bad games these last couple weeks. So that was my other big note. I just was real encouraged by last night.
So the need to know for this week, we have a game against the Kings Monday night, 9 p.m. at the Warriors Wednesday night, 9 p.m. at the Spurs Friday night, 7 p.m. Only one of the next 8 games are at home. And that's the Lakers game on, I believe it's the 27th. And it's going to be It's going to be a weird stretch because we're going to go a couple weeks, like I said, with only one home game. And then the one after that, I believe, is on April 5th. And once you get to April, you really, the countdown is on. At that point, we'll only have about six more games left. And there are some interesting opponents in there. We have Marc Gasol's retirement, jersey retirement ceremony, which to me is going to be, it's really going to cap off this really tough stretch of games for fans, which is just the last month of the season when there's a lot of jockeying going on near the top of the standings. And if you're at the bottom, it's really not a fun time.
There's a lot of jockeying on the bottom.
That's true as well. For us, it might, I worry it's going to get less and less interesting because we do have a 3.5 game buffer from the teams above us. And then, like you said, Toronto is just, I mean, they're in free fall right now, which as they should be. But yeah, those are the next three games this week, the last West Coast road trip of the season. And they're going to be some late ones, folks. So if you're, you know, if you got some insomnia, you know what to watch.
That's a talk about Grizz sickos.
Seriously.
Fellow Grizz sickos that are staying up super late to watch West Coast games this time of year, where we are in the standings.
I'll be honest with you too. I don't have many thoughts on these upcoming games because they're, I mean, the Kings and Warriors both want to win. The Spurs really don't, but it's always interesting to see Wimby play. And the Lakers game at home is going to be, I mean, they're kind of the play-in mix, and so they're going to need to win, and those games always sell out. I'm expecting way more Lakers fans on average than there usually are, unfortunately, in FedEx Forum, because we have two more games against them at home. But hopefully LeBron, sensing the urgency of the Lakers season, actually plays for everybody else's sake. So those are really my only thoughts on the upcoming schedule. What about you?
I mean, I think for me, yeah, it's still looking, obviously looking at development stuff, looking at, this is where we get to see Bane and whether, how he fits with some of our new guys like GG and Vince Williams Jr. They're getting more minutes now. Honestly, the Clark watch is on. All signs point to us getting Brandon Clark at some point. Part of me wonders if they're going to hold him back these next couple weeks because of the homestand, until we have some more home games that they'd rather play him at home. I could see that as well. Similar to I think Bane could have gone probably earlier, but I think they kind of circled Saturday night, OKC wrestling night. This would be a good night to bring Bane back. This is kind of sicko behavior, but those sort of little things, I think seeing Jake Laravia, and honestly, for me, I guess one other thought was just, I've liked what I've seen about from Kennard. I think I was pretty hard on Kennard. I think our last week in, I was like, I want to see something from him. He's kind of, I don't like all these little injuries. I don't like, it sometimes feels like he's not on the floor and he's like basically at times our second best player in the game. And other than Jaren, and sometimes when Jaren sits, he's our best, at least probably top player in an NBA rotation guy out there. And I've actually liked what I've seen the last week and a half from him. I think he's been a little more aggressive in a way that I hope that if we keep him after this year that he is. I like seeing him just score a lot of points. I think it also helps his trade value if we decide to go that route. So all those things. Looking at Kennard too a little bit, seeing if he can keep it up, seeing if he can string some games. It's hard because I don't know whether we're resting people in kind of the subtle tank. Giving time on, and it's not just tanking, but it's also giving time to a lot of these young guys and a lot of these 10-day guys, doing them a solid, getting them some minutes out there. But I do get, but I do want to see kind of Kennard string some good games together.
Well, let's finish out the pod by giving out an MVP of the week. I'll go ahead. My MVP of the week is actually Desmond Bane, because if you're going to come in and make that much of an impact in one game, that to me shows me all I need to know. I really do think that his return is the reason why the game felt way more competitive and was way more competitive. He just having one competent NBA player at his caliber on the floor changes the entire mix. And so that to me, it was almost by virtue of him not appearing in the games before that and then only seeing it one time against probably what's going to end up being the best team in the West by seeding is just, I got to give it to you. So shout out Bane.
All right. So I've gone round and round on this. so you know what? I've shouted out Kennard a little bit just a second ago. I shouted out Aldama a little bit, but I'm going to go with the heart here. I'm going to give it to Conchar. He's my MVP because I'm pretty sure he's played. I think he played every game, maybe rested one in this last 2 week stretch. And he's always playing hard. He's always an extra possession all the time. He just destroys these bad teams, like these loser teams, like the Wiz and the Hawks and the Hornets. He just comes in there and just takes away their souls constantly by hustling when they're just going through the motions. And so he's one of my, good Conchar's playing. I have something to watch type of guys. Obviously, Gigi, secretly is the number one, but I can't give Gigi MVP because he's had some real stinkers, does some crazy things. He also is really fun and exciting. But I'm going to give it to Conchar. It's a heart pick this week, not a data pick, but a heart pick. But honestly, I think if you look back in the last 2 weeks, I think he has the best plus minus. On the team, so Conchar.
Shout out to the connector. It's just a special place in our hearts. We got to cherish every Conchar game that we get from here on out. Well, this has been another unexpectedly fun edition of the Weekden Update by virtue of the fact that we had the game slates that we've had the last couple of weeks. So shout out to Grizz fans who are just slaving through the last month of this season and listening to the Weekden Update and the Grizz Den podcast. We'll likely, I do have some travel next week, so we'll not TBD on when the next one will be, but we are just going to continue to watch Grizz games, and if things pop up, Clark watch, like you said, Kraft, like it's on. It's on right now. We're going to be here to give you our feedback on what we see from Clark.
And one other thing is I'll say there should be a lot of articles coming out, but obviously, Grizz watchers, there's a lot of top 20 draft picks that are out that are going to be playing in the NCAA tournament. A lot of them are foreign and other things, but there are a few guys. And so, obviously, I think Kentucky, UConn, they're probably the two biggest with, a lot of guys who people have seen in the top 20. You have a Colorado. Even a Tennessee has a guy that might be in the late teens if we move back there. And so all that said is there's some NCAA tournament guys. We'll talk about that more later. But then also that at the end of the season, we're going to still try to do, a podcast pretty regularly on the NBA playoffs and kind of talk about that. So we'll get to have fun with our general NBA takes, but then also it's going to be very Grizzlies related, just kind of strategies. Cause one of the fun things about the summer is that the Grizzlies, can go a lot of different ways. And then in a fun part of the NBA playoffs is there's a lot of teams that have chosen certain directions, and we're going to kind of see how all those things mix and what that means potentially for what the Grizzlies need to do in the summer too. So we'll be having those conversations. So we'll be sticking around even in the season ends.
Absolutely. March Madness, one of the most fun times of year. Well, thanks again for joining us. This has been a great fun edition of the Weekden Update for Kraft. I'm Will. We will talk to you next week, then.